This is Toledo's Symphony Lab, a behind-the-scenes look at the world of classical music from WGTE Public Media and your Toledo Symphony. I'm Brad Cresswell, and joining me in the studio today are the Toledo Symphony's music director, Elaine Trudell. We also have the TSO's president and CEO, Zach Vassar, and a very special guest on the phone with us right now. I have a fanfare for you, by the way. Put your hands together. Yay! Put your hands together for Matt Kattengub. Matt, say your last name for me just so I say it correctly.
You just said it.
I said it. Okay.
Perfect.
Kattengub.
Yeah.
Matt Kattengub.
Yeah, perfect.
That's you. Welcome.
That is. Thank you for having me. I love the fanfare. I've heard that many times, but maybe not necessarily when I'm supposed to, but I've heard that many times.
Okay, good to know. So the reason that we're talking with you is you are coming to Toledo. You're going to be performing on the stage of the Peristyle. It's happening Saturday night at 8 o'clock p.m., April 8th. People can find information at ToledoSymphony.com or 419-246-8000, or they can just stay tuned and learn all about the show right here. Now, the name of the show, Matt, is From Samoa to Sinatra, and I assume you're talking about Frank Sinatra, but I'm not so familiar with the Samoa part, so can you give us a little introduction to what the program is?
Sure. Well, the program is it will include part of that. That's actually a recording I have coming out, and unfortunately, it's 1 month later than I'm going to be there. But I will have preview copies for everybody. But anyway, the reason for that is I have a rather original version of original way of entering the world of show business, and that is my mother. My mother was a jazz singer. And that's where the Samoa comes from. She was a Samoan lady born in Samoa, raised in New Zealand, and then came to the United States in the late 50s. And after recording a very quick demo, if you can believe it, a demo in the late 50s, where they actually had to, you know, actually groove out a record, an acetate, she was signed by Capitol Records, which at the time was, of course, Frank Sinatra's recording label. And the first person she ever had arranged for her first recording was the one and only Nelson Riddle. So she did three albums with Capitol, and then at that very time, that's when Frank Sinatra decided to create his Reprise record label. He was leaving Capitol, and at the time, my mom was a budding artist, and he asked her, along with his buddies Dean and Sammy and Rosemary Clooney, all those people you would imagine. During that time, this is now around 1960, to come join him on his record label, Reprise Records. So my mother was the first female artist signed to Reprise Records. And that's thus the title from my mom was born in Samoa, and she went to join Sinatra's record label. And that was kind of her legacy. I was born around the same exact time. I mean, we can get into this later, but she's literally on her very first record on Reprise Records. She's pregnant with me.
Wow.
So I've always wanted to do a recording that honored both my, I mean, I'm Sinatra file. I just love it. That's one of my loves in life, along with the Beatles, but you know, that's why I'm a pop conductor, because I love all kinds of music, but that's the crux of it. That's how the album came about, and I wanted to honor both my mom and Sinatra. So that's how the title came about.
So that's really interesting, and what an incredible legacy that you're bringing as part of this show that's happening Saturday night. But what we normally do with somebody who is new to Toledo Symphony Lab is ask them to tell their story, and it's kind of a getting-to-know-you session. You've already told us a little bit, of course, about your mother and her association with Sinatra and his label and all that jazz, so to speak. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about you, and I have some music for you. Let me pull it up. Oh, yeah. Okay, take it away, Matt.
I love it. I actually, it's after that story about my mom, this is the perfect segue, if you will, because that's growing up in a household with a mom that has that kind of lineage, literally growing up around the Rat Pack. That's how I got to grow up. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, where at the time, and I guess most, a lot of it today is, you know, a lot of our music is created. So, popular music is created. So, I went, that's where I was born and raised, went to school, kind of went through school, went to Grant High School in Van Nuys, California. The reason I bring that up is because I got to go to school with all the guys from the band Toto. You know, that school was the children of a lot of entertainers and musicians. So that was how I got to have my formative years. But anyway, out of high school, I was, my band director forced me to play saxophone. At the time, I was not playing saxophone. He said, I need a saxophonist for our jazz band. So I did. And it was the best thing I ever did, because right out of high school, I got into the Monterey Jazz Festival All-Star High School Band, and from there, I got to go to Japan with the Monterey Jazz Festival, and I got to share the stage with Thad Jones and Mel Lewis and Dizzy Gillespie and Roots Brown and the Modern Jazz Quartet and Kenny Burrell, all these incredible jazz musicians. So that was my people would say, where did I go to school? I always like to say I went to the old school, because that was where I went. I literally learned on the job, and out of there, I joined the Louis Belson big band, which is, Louis was one of the great jazz drummers of our time. And out of there, I also joined the Toshiko Akiyoshi Jazz Orchestra, which may not be so well known these days, but at the time was a very important ensemble. So anyway, that was my early days as a jazz saxophonist. But then I had always continued playing piano, because I always accompanied my mother on piano. And that led me to a lot of other things. I started becoming music director for a lot of popular artists of the day. The Captain and Tennille, Tony Tennille, Jack Jones, and then eventually I was Rosemary Clooney. And that's what kind of led me into kind of the stuff I'll be doing on the concert. But in addition to that, I was also handed the offer to be the pops conductor of the Honolulu Symphony back in 1999. And that kind of came out of nowhere, because I'd never really done pops orchestra conducting. I just came in with my reputation, and I had a bit of a reputation in Hawaii because of my Polynesian roots. So I did that for 11 years until, unfortunately, that version of the orchestra went bankrupt, as I'm sure a lot of you guys there know how difficult it is to keep symphony orchestras afloat occasionally, and sometimes things like COVID pandemics make that even more difficult. Yeah. But anyway, so that's kind of what led me to the pops orchestra world, and that's what I've been doing for many years. So entering back into the jazz world with this new recording is kind of new. I actually haven't done recorded, or I haven't done, I was with Concord Records for a number of years and did some recordings for them, but I've been mainly doing pops orchestra stuff, but now I'm doing this again. So I'm kind of doing both. And so that's why I'm thrilled to be joining Toledo Jazz Orchestra, because I'll be revisiting some of my older big band stuff. I led my first big band when I was 21 years old, and my mother was the chick singer, if you will, in the band. She passed in 1992, but then I've since, you know, moved on to the pops orchestra world. So that's a very fast talking version of where I've been up to this point.
You know, I look at your biography, and it lists the different things that you do. You're an arranger, composer, big band leader, pops conductor, pianist, saxophonist, vocalist. Which of those do you think takes the main seat most of the time? I mean, what do you identify with the most?
I think it's strange. I kind of enjoy being the leader, or like the host, if you will. I love being in the pops orchestra world, because I can do anything at any time. You know, I can be the performer, or I can be in the background and just conduct. I one of the things I did in Honolulu was, because I'm an arranger over the years, I was able to write the pops orchestra books for a lot of major artists, people like Kenny Loggins, Mike McDonald, Rosemary Clooney, Toto, the aforementioned Toto.
Not to be confused with the dog from The Wizard of Oz,
exactly.
Right? Yeah, okay.
But he had a great agent.
Soundboard. No dog. I was waiting for the dog.
Yeah, okay.
You're behind. What's wrong with you guys? There you go. So anyway, that I will tell you that is one of my great loves, is to be able to just kind of, I guess, captain the ship, if you will. It's fun to be able to do that and to be able to perform, but then not perform. So to answer your question, I kind of like doing it all. I kind of do everything in equal parts.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to be playing more saxophone next week, or on the concert rather.
What kind of sax do you play? Do you play alto or tenor?
Well, I'm mainly an alto player, but years ago I played tenor sax on a movie for George Clooney. I just dropped the name there for you. Because, all the years I worked with Rosemary, George asked me to do the music for his movie called Good Night and Good Luck, which was about 15 years ago now.
Yeah, great
but
movie.
Nominated from, yeah, great movie. But I actually switched to tenor. For that, he wanted me to channel the great tenor saxophonist Ben Webster. So I did, grabbed the tenor and just like practiced a little bit and kind of turned into that player. But that was only for about a year, and now I'm playing alto again.
We're talking with Matt Kattengub, who is coming to the Paris Style Saturday night at 8 o'clock p.m. It's April 8th. You can find more information at ToledoSymphony.com or call the box office at 419-246-8000. You guys want to jump in here because I know, Elaine, you have quite a jazz pedigree to you as the artistic director of the Toledo Jazz Orchestra, who's going to be performing with Matt. I wonder if you had some reactions to some of the stuff that Matt said. All good, by the way, Matt, just letting you know.
One in general, which is wow.
Yeah.
So, what? Oh my God, what a CV. And what accomplishments. And now we're just so happy to have you with the Jazz Orchestra.
Yeah, you didn't know, Matt, but we're naming you the new host of Toledo Symphony Lab. So I'm out of here.
You know what? I better get that soundboard program up and running.
Yeah.
What I can tell you is that the band is very excited to have Matt and to play some amazing music. So this is something that we've been looking forward since the beginning of the season. This is one of our, we have a little star next to that date, you know.
Yeah.
So, no, Matt, we're really looking forward to welcoming you.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it as well. And I also want to just a shout out to my dear friend who actually hooked all this up for me is Scott Lavender, mm-hmm. who is Johnny Mathis music director, but we've known each other for decades because we actually both were in the Captain and Tennille band many, many years ago. So I just want to give a shout out to Scott for hooking us all up.
What was your favorite Captain and Tennille song, out of curiosity?
Favorite Captain and Tennille song?
I'm thinking Muskrat Love, maybe, or...
Well, you know what? I Muskrat Love always, to me, always got a bit of a bad rap. God bless Daryl, the captain, and his... How he'll always be remembered for the silly Muskrat solo he did on. It was just, I mean, maybe a poor choice at the time to do, because that now he was always been associated with it. But Daryl is one of the great musicians, great keyboardists of all time. So I love the song. The song Muskrat Love is actually not bad. There's a couple of hidden gems in the Captain and Tennille catalog that I just love. One of Tony's great songs is. The Way That I Want to Touch You, actually. It's a great song. I actually redid it with her on an album of mine years ago. So that's a favorite as well. So.
Yeah, we're not going to hear any Captain and Tennille this weekend, obviously.
Well, Tony she's retired now, but she's a wonderful jazz singer. And we did a couple of records together as well. Really just, I think if she could, that's all she would do. Is sing standards. I'm not sure she ever, at the Toledo Symphony, ever got a chance to have her with her symphony show, but it's absolutely marvelous. So.
Yeah, Tony Tennille, right? That's who you're talking
about? Yeah, Tony
Tennille. Yeah. I do have a quiz, and I've split this quiz up into two different versions here, or two different installments. And the quiz is something that is, a traditional part of the program that we do, and so today's quiz is all about Frank Sinatra. It's called Frank Facts, And
you have my attention.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're a big Frank Sinatra fan.
Though I may have met my match.
And Matt,
no,
obviously.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, some of these are very easy and some of them are not so easy. Some of them are kind of little trick questions. It's a multiple choice, so it should be easy for any Sinatra file to get. Okay?
Well, now you're just going to set me up for failure.
Yes, exactly. Okay, here we go. The way that this works, Matt, is I'll ask some questions and then we'll go back and do the answers, okay? And I do have a little music for that. Okay. First question. What U.S. state was Frank Sinatra born in? Was it New Jersey, New York, or Illinois? A, B, or C? What was Sinatra's first hit song as a solo artist? Was it I'll Never Smile Again, Strangers in the Night, or My Way? A, B, or C? What was the title of the first movie that Sinatra won an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for? Would that be From Here to Eternity, The Manchurian Candidate, or On the Town? And what was the name of Sinatra's first wife? Was it Nancy Barbato, Ava Gardner, or Mia Farrow? A, B, or C? And this one may have been spoiled somewhat by Matt's story earlier, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What was the name of the record label founded by Frank Sinatra in 1960? Was it Capitol Records? Was it Reprise Records? Or was it Columbia Records? A, B, or C? What was the name of the famous Vegas hotel that Sinatra frequently performed at? Was it the Tropicana? Was it the Sands? Or was it the Flamingo? A, B, or C? And your last question, what was the final album that Frank Sinatra recorded for the record label that he founded? Okay, that's kind of a trick question. Was it She Shot Me Down? Was it Duets 2? Or was it L.A. Is My Lady? They're all a final album in a certain way.
Yeah, it's tricky. Yeah. I see what you're doing there, man.
Spoken like a true Frankophile, right? Or Sinatraphile, I guess would be the word. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. Frank Sinatra was born in Hoboken, New Jersey. That was A. Did you all get that?
I knew he's in Hoboken, but I wrote New York.
Yeah.
So it is New Jersey.
You wrote
that
New York? Hoboken, New York?
It's Hoboken. I've been there, but in my head it was in New York. All right. Yeah, sorry to all of our listeners in New Jersey.
Okay. Second question. What was Sinatra's first hit solo song? It was A, I'll Never Smile Again.
That's how I feel for missing the first question.
Yeah, exactly.
And now I may have to counter that one.
Yeah. Well, this entire quiz is just made up, so you can counter anything.
I see. Because I'll Never Smile Again was technically a Tommy Dorsey hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think his first solo hit was actually Night and Day. But whatever. I don't know.
We'll give you credit. Totally. Okay. What was the title of the first movie that Sinatra won an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for? That would be A, From Here to Eternity. That's what I got. Any question there, Matt? You get that one? All right. What was the name of Sinatra's first wife? Well, of course, it was Nancy Barbato, right?
Yep.
We all got that one. The name of the record label founded by Sinatra in 1960 was Reprise Records.
Yep.
Okay. The famous Vegas hotel was the Sands. That is B.
Wow.
And the final album Sinatra recorded for the record label that he founded... Okay, one of these was 1981, one was 1994, the other was 1984. But the 1981 is actually what I have as the winner. She Shot Me Down for Reprise Records.
My parents had that poster in our basement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Right up next to your Mahler poster, right?
Yeah, it's a very strange basement. Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. She Shot Me Down. What do you think, Matt? Is that... Is that correct?
I'm trying to think if Trilogy, the album Trilogy was, but maybe She Shot Me Down was after Trilogy though. I think maybe you're right.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Trilogy was a wild experience listening to that.
Yes, it was.
The last album was just like, what is going on right now?
Wow.
So it's like a tone poem in Sinatra land.
That was your Symphony Lab hosting test right there, Matt.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay. Pretty sure he ran the board on that one.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. How about this? What label was Ellie Is My Lady, which is, I believe, Frank's... Well, it wasn't his last...
Last solo studio album.
And that's one he did with Quincy Jones, yeah?
Yeah, from
1984. Do we know the label of that one?
1984. I don't have the label written down, no.
That? You know that one?
No, I don't have that one.
It's multiple choice, Quest. So you have to give us three choices.
Okay, it was Reprise, Capital, or Quest.
Oh, I put on Quest then.
Quest.
There you go. It was Quest. Yeah. Yay!
Only because that's the one we haven't talked about yet.
Well, and then the duets albums were put back on Capital, so...
Capital.
I never understood why Reprise allowed that to happen.
I don't know.
Well, you got to understand, Reprise wasn't Frank's label... I mean, and I know I can attest to this because it's from personal experience. Reprise was in his label from 1963 on.
Got it.
When he sold it to Warner Brothers.
Got
it. He kind of lost control of it then. So
got it.
There you go.
Well, as you said in the A Man and His Music, Reprise, not quite Cadillac yet, but apparently it made it in 3 years.
That's right.
Nice.
I love it. Wow! So, you probably know all the narration Man and His Music. Oh yeah,
I love it.
You are a true Sinatra file if you love that record, which I do.
And Matt, absolutely. We're going to have a lot of fun when you're here.
Yeah, Elaine and I are just going to sit here quietly while you guys talk.
Well, I do want to bring
Zach and I. I think Zach and I need to go have a Jack Daniels. I think together just
done.
To celebrate. Yeah, Brian, so.
I'm having one right now.
Very nice. Soundboard, please.
Yeah, right. I want to go back to something you said, Matt, earlier, and bring Elaine into this. Both of your mothers were jazz singers, and Matt, you've spoken a lot about the role that your mother had in inspiring you. And Elaine, I just ask you if you have any reflections or favorite songs you remember your mother singing.
Oh, different era, different place.
Yeah.
You know, Montreal was not LA. My mother was what you call a top 40 and a master of ceremony. And all she wanted to do was to sing standards, right?
Yeah.
But you don't really get to do that on the show. So the jazz was not as popular as part of our culture in Canada. So, you know, if she could get one standard set, she'd be happy. But the rest of the time you'd sing, you know, top 40 tune. But jazz was her love, of course. And she'd sing to me, but she didn't have that career like that. She made 145. She made a 45 with the things like...
Do we need to define to the listeners what a 45 is?
Yeah, it's you need to be at least 45 to know what it is.
Totally.
Well played. Yeah.
You're here all night, folks.
Yeah, right.
Or all week, or at least for the next 5 minutes. Yeah.
Did she have a standard though that you have in your head? When I mean, did she do a Skylark that you'll never forget?
My mother was really into Carmen McRae and Billie
Holiday. Oh yes,
now that were our two. Yeah, and now of course, like you know, all singers they all wish they were Ella Fitzgerald, yeah, and they had that kind of chops.
Yeah.
But no, that was So she would whatever you could think of, you know, Loverman and things like that. You know, like the standard with Billie Holiday, and that would be stuff that she would sing. My father was an amazing jazz drummer, like one of the best jazz drummer in town.
Yeah.
So he would play 3-4 shows a day, and that's back when there was not pre-recorded music in the clubs, right? So the event of all this pre-recorded music basically killed all the live industry on the main street. They worked on the main. All the clubs were one next to each other, right?
Yeah. Mm.
So you do a gig in one, then you move your drum set two doors down.
And the people outside are doing the same thing. They go in for a drink here, and then they go to the next one.
Well, actually, they had drum sets already set up, so you just show up. And then most of them were like, how do you say, Clubs of Light Morale or something.
It sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, and everybody had their
theme. We're not talking about mushrooms.
And,
okay.
And every artist had their theme songs.
Yeah.
So you need to know all the theme songs for all the places. It's a very special time, right?
They don't do that anymore, do they? I would love to walk into a place and have a drum set there. Just, you know, a sign that says, please, you know, go to town. Usually it's do not touch, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys take a lesson from your musical parents? I mean, in terms of how you approach your music now or how you think of jazz?
Are you asking who me?
Well,
or
I'd ask Elaine? Matt and Elaine. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll go first. Yeah. Did I take musical lessons? Well, I have to say that, and I don't recommend it for everybody, but I'm actually mostly self-taught. My mother stuck me at a piano, and I just started teaching myself Beatles songs when I was a kid, and then I just started adding harmony to it, and my mom would kind of help me out. So if that was a lesson, that's kind of what she did. But then her forcing me to learn all the songs she did and all the chords and the substitute chords and all that she would want all the time, that was my lesson. So like I said earlier, that was my old school. What school did I go to? Yeah, that was the school. I went to the school of mom and her ruler slapping my hand when I missed the change and bar three of Here's That Rainy Day. She, you know, like, no, I want this. It's like, oh, so anyway, that was my lesson. I don't know about you, Elaine.
He's cringing a little bit, so.
Wow.
I can't tell if.
That's pretty stern.
It's like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, you were stern. I got to give her that.
Yeah. So now, well, for me, was my, both my parents were not into music. Well, were not professional musicians. By the time I was old enough to start, I started a little later. I started when I was 12. And by that time, all the industry had died down. There was no work. So they all, you know, recycled their career in something else. And, but my father was always very inspired and inspirational in that sense. It's very funny because it was kind of they walked around with a broken heart, you know, about not being able to do what they loved because the industry disappeared all of a sudden. I mean, you know, nothing against it. I mean, I make records and we all make records, fine. But for them, it was, and it was like, you know, they lost a great love of their lives. And when I started playing, they were so scared that I would do that as a living. Like my dad asked me until my mid-30s, what was my fallback plan?
Yeah. when are you going to get a real job?
No, he'd say it's great. You know, like I'd be touring the world and he'd be going like, okay, great. So you have a B plan in case. But it's, like I said, it's another era and it's a... It was just there was always that sorrow that they had because of that.
So we're talking with Matt Kattengub, who is coming to the Peristyle Saturday night. It's April 8th, 8 o'clock p.m. More information at ToledoSymphony.com or 419-246-8000. Matt, I wonder if you can give us a little preview of what kind of music we're going to hear, what songs, maybe some hits. What do you have in store for us?
Well, it's kind of a mishmash of stuff. I think I mentioned earlier that when I was very young, my first big band, I was 21, and that was when I did my first record with my mom, literally first record, 12-inch vinyl. That's what you bought. CDs weren't even out yet at the time.
No 45 for you.
Yeah, right.
You have to be 45 to know what a record is.
Exactly. So I recorded, you know, about three or four records with mom, as a big band leader before I kind of moved on to other things. So I'm kind of revisiting some of my quote unquote, older, classic, pieces that I'd written when I was much younger. I'm fortunate that a lot of the high schools and colleges to this day still play a lot of the music we will be playing on the concert. They're kind of my little minor hits for the college and high school jazz program. So we'll be doing a few of those things. I'm also going to visit some music I did on the soundtrack I did for George Clooney. And then of course I'm going to be previewing some, some of the stuff off the new record, inclusive of some stuff that I'll be actually singing with my mom. Thanks to technology.
Yeah.
It's not that new. Obviously, Natalie Cole had done it many years ago, but I was able to actually get my mom's masters from Warner Brothers Records. I want to thank them. And back then I was able to isolate her voice, and so I was able to do a few things with mom. So of course I'm going to do that on the concert as well.
Yeah. That must be really special for you to be able to sing with her, as it were, even virtually, or to share what she did and the effect that she had on you with audiences.
Well, it is actually the oddest, because I've done it a couple of times. I'm obviously going to be focusing on this for the next few years, but I mean, I think the oddest thing is, on one of the tunes, she's actually, when she recorded, that's when she was actually pregnant with me.
Yeah.
So it's an odd feeling to know she's singing with me in her stomach, and there I am singing with her. Anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of mind blowing. I saw a movie like that once, I think. It was
inner space?
Definitely a science fiction movie. Yeah.
As long as it's the Polanski, it's okay.
Right.
Yeah, time travel and all that stuff.
So, Matt, would this have been the Hooray for Love album that you would have been in utero for?
No. Hooray for Love was actually her second album for Kappa. She did one more. She did one more after that. Then she went to Reprise, and her first Reprise album was simply called Mavis.
Gotcha.
And I have to just throw out there, the guy that orchestrated the band is a guy named Marty Paich, who, if longtime jazz fans would know who he is, but his son David is the founder of the rock band Toto. So I've known David for a very, very long time. So I'm connected, in that world in a strange sort of way as well. So it's kind of, it's kind of like a six, maybe three, 2 degrees of separation when it comes to all that stuff for me.
All the roads lead to Toto eventually.
Yeah, eventually, which happens to be one of my favorite bands. So.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
Exactly.
Toto hasn't been, how shall I use the word relevant? They haven't been relevant for a number of years. But of course, when they were big, they were multi-Grammy award winning pop band, and they're still around. They still do tour. They're incredibly huge in Europe still. They're still one of the great bands ever.
There's a great video on YouTube of them. It starts out with Mahler's symphony with the trumpet playing the solo, bah, 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 and then it goes right into Africa from Toto, and it's so well done.
I've never seen this.
Yeah, you have to look that up.
Must.
Yeah, it's a great video. I've got a second part of our quiz.
Oh.
Are you up for that, Matt?
Do it.
All right, this is another quiz on Frank Sinatra. It's called More Frank Facts. Okay, here we go. Which song did Sinatra famously record with his daughter Nancy? Was it You Make Me Feel So Young, Summer Wind, or Something Stupid? A, B, or C? What was the name of the character that Sinatra played in the film The Man with the Golden Arm? Was it Frankie Machine? Was it Tony Rome? Or was it Joey Evans? A, B, or C? Which of the following films did Frank Sinatra not appear in? Guys and Dolls? High Society? Or The 7-Year Itch? A, B, or C? What was the name of the studio that Sinatra helped to found in 1947? Was it United Artists? Was it Capitol Records? Or was it MGM Records? A, B, or C? Which of the following songs did not win Sinatra a Grammy Award? Strangers in the Night, New York, New York, or My Way? Which of the following was not a nickname given to Sinatra? What is not a nickname of his? The Sultan of Swoon, The Voice, or The Duke? And finally, which song did Sinatra famously perform at President John F. Kennedy's inaugural gala in 1961? Was it Come Fly With Me? Was it High Hopes? Or was it Fly Me to the Moon? A, B, or C? So that is our Frank Sinatra quiz. I can go back and give you the answers now. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can honestly admit I missed them. I may not have a couple of them to go.
Yeah, I probably made them up anyway. So, which song did Sinatra record with Nancy? It was Something Stupid.
stupid.
Yeah. See, you got that? Okay, what was the name of the character Sinatra played in Man with the Golden Arm? It was Frankie Machine. Anybody get that?
No, I missed that.
Yeah. That was my guess.
Okay, we'll give it to you. Which of the following films was Sinatra not in? It was The Seven-Year Itch, of course. That was the Marilyn Monroe vehicle. What was the name of the studio Sinatra helped to found in 1947? Capitol Records. B. Yeah. Which of the following songs did not win a Grammy Award? It was New York, New York. The other ones did, yeah. Which of the following was not a nickname given to Sinatra? That would be C, the Duke. And finally, what song did Sinatra sing at John F. Kennedy's gala in 1961? It was High Hopes.
High Hopes.
B, yeah. Although Fly Me to the Moon might have been, appropriate as well, right?
Yeah.
By the end of this decade.
Yeah. How did we do on the quiz?
We got some questions, right?
I got most of them.
Yeah. Well, I think that we have to hand it to you, Matt. And
clearly.
Traditionally, we say that the guest is the winner of the quiz, so I'll give you a little shout out there.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
But at the end of the day, we're all winners, Brad.
Did you have something you wanted
to
say?
Yeah, I was just going to finish with one appreciation, Matt. In the Good Night and Good Luck, there's that scene when they're all in the studio and McCarthyism is raging and they're all kind of down and out. Diane Reeves is just singing some gorgeous ballad. Smoke is filling the room.
Yes.
What song is she singing? I can't remember what it was.
I believe that's How High the Moon.
How High the Moon. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, as a very moody ballad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great moment. Of course, I couldn't remember the song, but I'm glad that you were involved in that project. It's one of my favorite movies.
Just a quick story about that movie, hats off to the Cloonies, to George, of course, but to Rosemary. You know, George wanted, to quote him, he wanted his aunt's music in the movie. We did all the music live in studio. Wow. As a matter of fact, the opening, if anybody gets a chance to see the movie again, that opening scene, it's like a long, long camera following actors and, you know, an uncut scene. I think it's about 6 minutes long. We're playing the song in the studio and the camera's following all the characters. It's one continuous shot with live music. I've always wanted to throw that out because I've always thought George was
That's
really
bold.
Awesome to be able to take that chance. So great.
Let me ask you, Matt, have you been in this part of the country before? Have you been in Toledo?
Yeah, I have. It's been a number of years, I've been through there on a few tours, but it's been a number of years. I'm looking forward to returning, though. It'll be great.
Would you have been with the Symphony and Rosemary, one of her later concerts?
No, I don't think I've been with the Toledo Symphony, so no.
Well, we look forward to having you come join us Saturday night, April 8th at 8 p.m. in the Toledo Museum of Art Paris Style, an evening with Matt Kattengoob. That is available at toledosymphony.com or 419-246-8000. You can get your tickets either way. Matt, thank you so much for joining us for Toledo Symphony Lab, and we look forward to having you here in Toledo.
Absolutely. Absolutely, John. Thanks for having me.
This program is a production of WGTE Public Media in collaboration with our sponsor, the Toledo Symphony, with generous support from the Rita Barber Kern Foundation. You can download episodes as a podcast by going to our website at wgte.org/lab. You can also subscribe to us through your podcast app of choice, including Apple, Google, and Spotify podcasts. Don't forget to check out all the upcoming events at the Symphony by visiting their website at toledosymphony.com and their various social media outlets on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can find the TSO streaming platform online at stream.artstoledo.com. My thanks to Elaine Trudell, Zach Vassar, and of course, a big thanks to our special guest, Matt Kattengoob. I'm Brad Cresswell. You've been listening to Toledo Symphony Lab from FM 91.